Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's OMF on EEI.
Kulyakov throws the hip into Craig Smith, and Marshawn buries Kulyakov. Marshawn and Brad are going to go. Oh, Marshawn! What strength! He was backpedaling and falling, and he twisted Brad and slammed him. 5'9", 180 pounds, and nobody wants to mess with that guy.
That's the ball of hate.
Yep.
Well, it might be the ball of hate, but I'm not sure you want one of your stars on your top line to basically go out there and try to get stuff going. But if nobody else is going to do it, apparently that's what you have to do. So the Bruins were playing kind of lackluster last night. They're down 4-2 to the team that, for some reason, a bad team that they can't beat, in the Devils. They finally came back. They win it in the shootout 5-4. But when the game was over, to me it was interesting. We were talking about this, about Brad Stevens. Wasn't willing to even call out Marcus Smart, or at least, and I'm not saying beat up the player, but at least point out that the player's got to be aware of circumstances within the game. Bruce Cassidy certainly was with his team after the game.
Bruce, what would be the message to the young defenders after tonight? You know, they still played. You know, it's not like, you know, you weren't benching anybody. It didn't seem.
Yeah, I mean, on the back end, it's hard to sit a guy like you can a forward. You can certainly send a message with a, lack of better term, like you do with your children, a timeout, a temporary timeout, and rethink some things and reset. But overall, I think, you know, with 60, you got to play guys for the most part. The message was, you know, especially if you're going to go up the middle of the ice in the National Hockey League, you need to be clean. You need to be on the tape. You need to be assertive. You need to be sure, because if you're not, you know, clean, you're going to get somebody hurt. For example, the first play from Lozon up to Berge, it's in his feet. It's a slow roller. Like, that's a dangerous hockey play. And you also, like I said, are putting guys in a bad position if it's, you know, not clean, also to receive the pass. So, you know, two of them resulted in goals.
See, I like that. He's basically saying, this is what we're not doing. He's looking at his team right now. He's probably concerned about this team because he's got a good team, and yet, you know, they're not doing everything they need to do.
No, especially the young kids. And early on, I think that was the most impressive thing, the blue line, the young guys, right? But Lozon last night, good God, he's talking about that one that went to Bergeron. But the one off the faceoff, Palmieri, I think it made it 4-2. It was just really, like, in front of the net.
Yep.
Like, you got to be sure of that one. Holy smokes. I mean, right in front of the net. I think it would try to get it to Pastrnak. But it was right to Palmieri's stick, and it made it 4-2 after, you think he made it 3-2. And it was, Zboril's another one, Clifton's another one. Like, it's just, the young guys are kind of getting exposed here lately. But it was a crazy game, because you're making all these mistakes, and he's leading into some of these young guys. And you need a guy like Marshawn, like you said, to kind of get this team fired up and go to the box a couple of times. You don't want that to happen.
No.
You hope that comes from somebody else.
That's the only line that can usually score.
Meanwhile, you get this game to overtime and you win in a shootout. So you get 2 points.
Yeah, to me it was funny because we're all about, you know, looking at some of our local teams and, you know, when we talk about moral victories. Moral victory Monday for the Patriots, and just
it's
moral.
Moral victory Monday.
Hey, we wins. Can you have a moral victory, let's say, Wednesday,
after
if you
a win? After a win?
I feel like he didn't do that. No, I know. Yeah. I know. My point is, I know he didn't do that.
Wednesday after a win.
Yeah. Because, listen, when you go through the game, and they shouldn't have won the game. They had every it's the Devils that screwed it up, in my opinion.
Yeah,
they had every opportunity to close this out, and they just kind of just threw it away. But whatever. The point is that it was so sloppy and so out of control and just so like, oh, you know what? We don't need it, to the fact that you wait till the third period to actually wake up and then you win it in a shootout, like you said. To me, it was just funny to me because although he was saying, you know, putting his team on blast and really checking them publicly, it felt like, hey, they learned something, almost like a moral victory loss.
Well, he basically said they made up for their mistakes, and you can't do that every night, and he's right. And I'll guarantee you, because we talk about this with Brad Stevenson, Stevens comes out and says, well, I talked to these guys privately. You don't think Cassidy has had these conversations privately with these players? He's doing it publicly right now because he's looking at them once again against the Devils team that they should virtually beat every time they play him. And he said, what are we doing? Down two goals to them.
Yeah, I love the approach.
And he called guys out last night on why do we have to rely on Marchand?
You know, a little bit to the rest of the group back there, and even some of the, just to stretch your question into, you know, maybe our fourth line is, when you're a young player in the National Hockey League, you're given an opportunity to play here. When things go a little bit awry, like, we cannot rely on Brad Marchand to bring us energy in terms of physicality, or we should not have to, I guess. And Brad's a leader, and good for him. Try to get a spark, but that's where the Lozons can make up for, you know, a Clifton, a Zaboral, a Kuhlman, a Senishin, a Frederick, a Bleed. You know, we need those guys to sort of turn the tide of the game with some physicality, some energy, something to get the bench excited, the crowd excited, and I'll put that with the D as well. We got through it, but I'm not sure it's going to work against Pittsburgh, so hopefully it's a one and done.
I love that. So what he's doing is he's calling them out, and he's not really destroying them. If they can't figure this thing out, then shame on them, right?
Yeah.
See, and to me,
no, he mentioned it too, that young line, that fourth line, of Bleed, Frederick, and Kuhlman. That's, you know, it's always been historically your, you
that's
know,
your job.
Yeah, they call it the Fribble line. But the high energy line, right? The line that just gets after it, and they're, you know, it's just sort of lacking that energy. Some of the big guys he's talking about, and Frederick's a guy that has done it in the past.
Trent Frederick was chasing Tom Wilson and Alex Ovechkin two months ago.
Where's he been? It's not, but you need it more. You don't need a guy like Marchand, the one to kind of wake you up. That's just a sign that goes out there. Remember, he's been doing this. He's always done this. DeBrusk. Remember that? Well, yes. 2-3 weeks ago?
Yes, benched him.
Like, just, he came out publicly. Didn't just bench him. He just came out and said, he's not giving me the effort that it takes. Like, not saying about his play, you know. Brad Stevens would be like, well, you know, he's got a little, doesn't have any puck luck. You know, he's not scoring, but it's just puck luck, you know. He'll be fine. Cassidy, get your ass up on the ninth floor. Because you're not trying hard enough. It's an effort thing right now for you. It's
so beautiful. You brought this up yesterday. Maybe it's hockey players, and maybe you can get away with it.
They don't get paid.
They're a different breed. They don't make the money that players are. Right. And NBA players, if an NBA coach does that, maybe, you know, that's one reason that that Brad Stevens is fearful of doing it. If he does it to Marcus Smart and he calls him out publicly, what is going to happen? What is Marcus Smart going to do? But listen, Cassidy was not done. He talked about Marchand did his job. What about the other guys?
Did his job. And in that instance, he just finished a check and annoyed somebody. And again, get the attention of the other team, get the attention of our bench to get the energy level up. You know, that's what I said. There's other guys here that obviously, as a staff, I have to spell it out better for them. But I think Freddie was doing a lot of that earlier in the year and has gotten away from it a little bit. So those other guys that are trickling into the lineup in and out, you know, you take an NHL player like Wagner out, to give other guys an opportunity. They have to recognize in games like tonight how they can impact the game, affect the game, when things maybe aren't going your way to turn it. So, you know, we pointed that out, and hopefully, like I said, we learn. And at Cliffy as well. You know, Tenorti's been in this league a long time. Camphor, he stayed in. So recognize that, you know, he can also bring some physicality to make sure that the other team knows that, you know, it's not going to be an easy night.
So he called out the kids last night, but the other night in the Islanders game, he was calling up his veterans. He was calling out his stars and saying they weren't getting
it
done.
It's funny. He's like, listening to Cassidy and all the, like, physicality. He's absolutely right. I mean, you know, Frederick has done it before, but I love the fact he's like, I got to spell it out better for them.
Mm-hmm. As a staff, apparently. I have to spell it out better for them, but I think...
I love it.
But it goes to all those people that are like, you know, take fighting out of the game. Does it sound like Bruce Cassidy wants to take fighting out of the game?
No.
His team needs more of it. And I know physicality isn't necessarily always dropping the gloves. But with a guy like Frederick, we've seen it. And to a point, he might be sitting there saying, can anybody else do what I'm doing? Because, I mean, I'm tired of tracing like guys that I shouldn't be fighting just to show that I have a set. Like, I'll do it. I'll go get Wilson again if you want. You know, I'll go after the best out there. But can someone else do it? And Clifton's one of those guys that should be able to do that.
Well, that's why he mentioned guys like Stephen Camper and Jared Tenorti, guys who are veterans that might not be as good as the kids right now, but at least I can rely on these guys to go knock some heads around when we're not playing well.
See, to me, this is
an important part of the game that people feel like needs to get taken out of the game. And there's your coach talking about it. I mean, you know, last night, like Brad Marchand, what he did, it's part of the game. You know, and it's not about fans. You know, they always talk about getting momentum, getting the fights, get the crowd going, right? Feed off that energy. We've seen here, they just started having fans. It's more than that. It's not the fans. It's about your own bench, getting those guys excited, getting those guys motivated. So fighting's part of the game, and people want less of it, want to take it out, and it sounds to me like Bruce Cassidy wants more of it from his own team.
Yeah, it's one of those games where, you know, everybody's glad they won, but nobody's happy.
Which is good. Which
I know.
Perfect.
But my thing is okay, so... I think this approach has a shelf life just like any other approach. You're going to bench me. I know the other guy sucks, and I'll be back in. Okay, Gary, okay, I had a bad game. I didn't give you what you want. I know. Your other option isn't nearly as good or nearly as consistent.
But this isn't necessarily a team meeting.
No. I know. My point is, but he's doing it publicly. But the fact is that this isn't his first time doing it publicly.
But he has to do it publicly because you know he's done it privately and it's not working. So what better way to get the players to understand but by calling them out publicly and giving them a name? Listen, the game's changed and the goons are out of the game right now. But that means that there are certain players who are physical players on your team who you need in certain instances to be the physical guys that take care of the policing it.
What strength!
You can't expect your first liners to do it. You rely on them to be at full strength to score.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of things that he's saying, right? And it's there's three different layers to this. There's, hey, when you need to be physical, we need you to be physical. You can't turn it down. And you need to be smarter. Like, you need to be smarter. That the first goal the Devils had was like, it was almost like, okay, do you just want to give him a couple goal lead? Like, is that what we're trying to do?
Christian,
it was so carelessly.
Gift goal was used a lot on the broadcast.
And
well, Brick even said it after that Lazon one to Palmieri. We've been using that term an awful lot here, Jack. Gift goals. And you have. You know, and that's, it's young. It's young defensemen. But I'll tell you, I still look at them, and you know, I know those concerns of where they are. I know they're 3 points ahead of the Flyers. They got 2 games in hand, though.
All right.
And they still only played the Sabres twice. Like, twice. They have 6 more games against the Sabres.
Yeah, that is your get-right hockey team.
So, I mean, that's your get-right team that everyone's getting right against, and you haven't really played them yet. So as far as playoff spots, you know, I think they're okay. I think they're, you know, somewhat of a flawed team at times. We know that. But if people are concerned about them making the playoffs, I'm not.
Well, I'm worried about them making the playoffs. I'm worried about them being significant players. And we still don't know about Tuukka Rask. I mean,
that's the other
thing that you got to really be concerned with right now, because he came back and then didn't last long, and then suddenly we're dealing with the same injury again.
And knowing him, I mean, he's tough. He'll be in there when it counts.
Yeah. Wow.
Of course he is.
Wow.
What?
Well, was that he's just being honest.
Well, he did have the flu that one time, right?
You can count on him. He'll be there.
It was a bell ring one time.
It's a bell ring guy.
Yeah. But I like the fact that he is speaking up, and it goes in contrast to what we were saying yesterday about Brad Stevens and him tiptoeing around the Marcus Smart and his behavior during the course of the game. And I'm not expecting him to go out there and say, Marcus Smart sucks. And I'm not expecting him to react like a fan. But you want to go and at least explain, hey, listen, he had a brain fart. He did something. He's got to be more focused during the course of the game.
Well, I think he's aware, too, of again, the different type of athlete.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
You know, you've seen it. It's AAU from the age of 13. People, I want you on my team. And it's just AAU, recruiting, one and done in college, come in, be a star right away, versus hockey. And it's a different sport. Like, I'm a great since I was 14, I've taken over every game of my life. I'm the best player in the team. And as a kid, every single team wins because I'm on it. You know, and I play whatever, every single minute. In hockey, you're one of 3-4 lines. You can't win it by yourself. You know, these kids are all over the place, you know, in hockey. They don't exactly, you know, AAU, they got club. But it's more of a team sport. I mean, they rely on each other more. It's not an individual game. just the mentality itself. Hockey players are like the most normal athletes in the world.
Yeah, they're like normal
down to earth athletes. They don't make
like baseball players
$40 million a year. You know, they don't do that. It's this guy's making six. Ooh, they can't pay him that much. That's a lot. I mean, it's right. The financials of hockey are funny when you start talking about it. Guy's making six and a half. Oh, they overpaid. He's making what, 3.5? That's ridiculous. It's like
that's what a kicker makes.
It was funny the other day we mentioned it that Boston Sports Info put a list of the highest paid athletes here in town. And for an example, David Price is still getting paid more as a Boston athlete, even though he's working out of the bullpen in Los Angeles, that he's getting more money, $16 million out of Boston. He's getting more money than any of those hockey players. It's not even close. The hockey players were all at the bottom of the list. Kemba was up at the top of the list. Then you had some football players. And at the bottom of the list, you had all the hockey players.
And good
including
ones.
Including the stars on the team.
Yeah, the stars on the team.
Right.
It's like you know, Krejci, 6.5. Bergie's like 6.5, 7. Can't Boston, sign anybody more than that. Can't offend those guys. Plus the star's got to be the top. $7 million. Yeah. Marshawn, Pasta, Bergie, that's it. Krejci, can't sign a guy making nine. Like, who makes nine? What's Cam going to make nine? Not even.
Probably not.
No.
Garrett
Richards wasn't pitching
he's
like
got, he's
17
got 10.
Years.
That guy's got arbitration 10. Over nine.
Yeah.
He's got 10.
Yeah.
Right, I'm convinced that Cam Newton is actually going to make more on this new 8-episode interview series he's got on BET than he's going to make as a football player. We're going to get to that. Plus, the McCourtys appeared this morning on Good Morning Football, and Jason McCourty said something quite interesting. All of that, plus we'll get into baseball. Robert Kraft is going to speak, and we'll have it for you at 5 o'clock hour today. All of that and more coming up right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Why so serious? So where's your class if you are wrong? In all the right
ways. Spilled your drink? Quick! The Quicker Picker-Upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty. The Quicker Picker-Upper.
Follow the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
I want you to say something really stupid. And then when you say it, I'm going to go, idiot.
Now back to OMF.
on OMF. We'll get into some baseball coming up in a little bit. Alex Verdugo will join us coming up at 4 o'clock. And, of course, the Red Sox open up tomorrow against the Baltimore Orioles, their home opener over at Fenway Park. And 4,500 people are going to be there. We still have a pair of tickets to give away in the 5 o'clock hour for Sunday's game. So Devin McCourty and Jason McCourty appeared this morning on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. I understand the Twins, and I get all of that. Do they always have to appear together?
Yes.
Is that part of the
They are yes. Twins.
And they have one, like, Twitter account, right, that they share and the whole works. They just have to do everything together.
Yes, that's the Twins.
Yeah, that's what happens when you're twins.
Twins, I guess so. Yeah. So Devin McCourty was excited about how uncharacteristically aggressive the offseason has been for New England.
So between all of these free agency signings and then those guys that are coming back from the opting out due to COVID-19, it's going to be a promising season. It's going to be exciting. How excited are you for what 2021 has to bring?
I'm excited. I know you said your time there, but, you know, in my 11 years there, we haven't had an off season like this. So it's exciting. And I think, you know, as fans and people that watch the sport, they always want their team to spend big in free agency. I'm all about trying to get, you know, a better team and going out there and competing and trying to get back to the playoffs. So I'm excited getting to meet some of these guys through text already, but I can't wait to get back together and start to build for this season.
Always sounds better when you have the music.
Yeah, right. Everything's improved just when you have a really cool, funky disco music from the 80s.
So he's excited. They made all these changes, and they've added all of these players. And obviously, we know they like Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah.
They like Cam Newton.
No, they like him a lot.
Especially with all of these other players. So it was kind of interesting what Jason McCourty said. I kind of forgot he is still a free agent.
Yes.
He hasn't signed with anybody yet. And yet he was on there with his twin brother today, but he talked about he just wants to be wanted.
Jason, you're a free agent. What can you tell us about what your goals are for this coming season? You have that Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, I mean, this year in free agency has been different, obviously, with the cap and everything as a result of 2020. I just want to be somewhere where I'm wanted and an opportunity to compete and help the guys around me. You know, as an older player now, I really look forward and love being able to mentor the younger guys and be able to kind of help them grow as well as going out there competing and trying to win games. So wherever that may be, I'm going to be excited. This will be year 13. So, you know, each year you're closer to the end. This could be it. So I'm just excited to get somewhere and play football.
Sounded like a sales job to Bill Belichick. He's willing to mentor all of the young kids, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, which young kids are we talking about? We're talking about defensive young kids? I mean, how many young kids are in that secondary?
Well, he's probably fearful.
Not a lot. Not
in the secondary.
No, he's probably fearful they might be drafting somebody. I don't know. It sounds to me like he's trying to sell Bill on, I'm willing to do anything. You know, if I have to mentor the young kids, I'm good with that.
Somebody like that, I think, you know, you do wait, you know, almost, I know the draft's a few weeks away, but like Bill, we might have an eye on a couple of corners, right, in the draft. Maybe he's not able to get a hold of those guys in the draft and then turns around and says, all right, Jason, why don't you come back? You know, so that wouldn't surprise me if it's sort of on hold right now for a guy like McCourty with, you know, some of these corners that are in this draft. And if they swing and miss, maybe, you know, you never know who you're going to end up getting.
See, to me, what I hear there is he's one of the guys, you know, the guys who are allowing Cam to have a mulligan. He probably looks at it and says, wow, I know what Cam went through. I know how difficult it was. Hell, I know what it was like for Tom, and he struggled. And here comes Cam Newton. He has less, and yeah, he's less qualified and not as good. But, man, we won 7 games. We were terrible on defense. We couldn't stop anyone. We couldn't stop the run. Everybody scored on us. Offensively, we couldn't stay on the field. We were terrible in the red zone. We couldn't throw any touchdown passes. Suddenly, you add all these receivers, tight ends, defensive linemen, and then you just sit there and go, we are easily an 11-win team. And then, oh, God help you if we get to the playoffs. Because that's when Bill really shows up, right? That's when Bill really shows how smart he is. He's one of the guys that are saying, give Cam Newton a pass. In my opinion, he's one of the guys that says, Mulligan, yeah, I don't care what he did. Yeah, but he can't do this, he can't do that. Nah, it doesn't. I saw him in practice. Just like they saw N'Keal Harry in practice, right? N'Keal Harry, the second year in the league or first year in the league when he was hurt, all we heard about was how good he was doing in practice.
You know, what has surprised me a lot is because, you know, it's been some weeks now since Cam Newton has signed here in free agency and everything else, and we've heard players talk about it. We haven't had, like one reporter, anonymous source, or talk to a player. Nobody has been in Stidham's corner. Like, nobody. Like, he's not even mentioned. And maybe that, I mean, we keep wondering, like, the signs are everywhere, right? That the kid didn't play last year, that they just don't like him. You know, that they just don't think he can play. But I would have thought, like, dust settles, you know, maybe some of the reporters are out there sort of digging, like, okay, now we focus so much on Cam coming back and talk to the players about Cam's return. And now that we're 2 weeks out of that news cycle, all right, there's another quarterback in the room. He's still here. Let's find out what people are saying about him. And there has been nothing.
Yeah, I think the fact that he put together that Pat's West camp last week was probably at the advice of his agent or somebody who said, hey, listen, you didn't take the bull by the horns last year. You let Cam Newton just push you around. You got to show that you're a leader. You got to put together a camp. You've got to get players to come out.
But I'm just saying, there hasn't been one article, don't give up on Jared Stidham yet, with like a quote from a player saying, last year I saw him grow, you know, it's just, well, given where our offense was at the time, you know, Cam was just still a better fit, but I wouldn't give up on Stidham yet. I think he'll be a starting quarterback in this league. You haven't seen that anywhere.
Well, because I think people are looking at the other possibilities of Jimmy G or the possibility that they move up in the draft and draft another young quarterback. And if that's the case, then Stidham is short term. He's not long term, but is there a possibility that Stidham is the starting quarterback? I guess it's a possibility.
Yeah, you're right. It is funny because it's like he's just the backup, and it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter how good he looks. I don't think it matters. So Jared Stidham can run out there in those three preseason games and look fabulous. Fabulous. He can look great. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because the offense that the Patriots are holding on to has nothing to do with what Jared Stidham does. Like, the offense that you're going to see Cam Newton run in preseason is not going to be the offense that he runs during the regular season. We saw the same thing with Brady for all these years. Basic, 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 don't show anything. Bam, the first week of the season comes along, and next thing you know, everybody's going deep, tons of crossing routes, tons of personnel groupings and formations and motions, nothing that you would see in a regular season game in the preseason.
By the way, in talking about that and young players trying to work them into the system, did you guys see that the NFL has already announced that at the start of these off-season camps, we're going fully remote? They're not going to be live. They are going to do everything on Zoom.
That doesn't surprise me. The off-season, the OTAs, like the training sessions are all like remote. Nobody's there anyways. That doesn't surprise me. But it is interesting just based on the fact that, you know, Roger Goodell coming out saying, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, hey, we're going to have full capacity in stadiums. That to me is surprising that they would still, and maybe it's because the other teams, what did they do last year? Did teams that were in like Texas and Florida, did they all adhere to the same rules? Or if your governor allowed you to have more in-person stuff, teams like Tampa, right? They didn't do that either, right?
The league.
Yeah, that's right.
Protocol.
Yeah.
And they've already issued it that the teams can begin programs on April 19th. But none of it's in-person work. Now, the commissioner did say that yesterday, that down the road they plan, maybe by the summertime, in having guys in person. But
well, I mean, Paul Acero, that tweet you're talking about, he does say, but don't anticipate another all-virtual workout program like 2020, per
right,
sources.
They think by the summer they're going to be able to
so
open it up.
So April 19th, when this thing begins, at the early stages of it, that they'll be doing that. But I wouldn't count on it much, you know, after that or whenever.
No, because I would think
up.
By then they're all going to be vaccinated, right? And at that point, it just doesn't make any sense unless, again, you're playing the optics game, which they could possibly be playing. They may be fearful of how it's going to be perceived out there. That's another issue that just that carries on. As I mentioned, Alex Verdugo is going to join us at 4 o'clock. We got a bunch of stuff to get to with baseball, including a former Red Sox player who gave us a tribute on the way out to say thank you to Boston and also made mention of a plight, similar plight, that he had to a co-host on this radio program.
Well,
believe it or not. Believe it or not, it is coming up next right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back,
and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
Hi, Alex.
What's up, Johnny?
Could you give us your assessment first on how spring training went? And are you positive coming into the season?
It went great, and I was just thinking the last three innings, you know, just watching those kids play. I think this organization is in a good spot, you know, playing Nick, Jeter, Jaren. Just go out there and play. They play a lot. They grew a lot, and that's what it's all about, you know. We did an amazing job with the big league club, but I was able to be around these kids, Casas. The future is bright. We feel very good where we're at. It's refreshing to see all this stuff. It was fun. You know, out of the whole, all the positive things that we did in spring, just to be around those kids and see the potential, you know, that was really good. That was refreshing.
Alex Cora, he's been very positive in spring training, really giving us a little tease that they might be better than what a lot of people think they're going to be. And so we'll take him at his word. Yesterday, Lou made a mention that we're probably, with some of the younger players in the outfield, we're probably going to hear an awful lot. Jackie Bradley would have had that. So Jackie Bradley's gone, but he wrote a goodbye to Red Sox Nation in the Players Tribune. And listen to this one, Christian. I want to read for you.
That's good.
April 1st, 8 years ago tomorrow, was the beginning of a new chapter for my career. It's one that would be filled with hardships and triumphs, but most importantly, growth. From the Merlone shuttle to the duck boat parades.
Wait, who's saying this?
From the Merlone shuttle to the duck boat parades. The Merlone shuttle? I haven't heard that in years.
Thanks for the tribute, Jackie.
Jackie Bradley Jr. on the Merlone shuffle?
Yeah.
Shuttle. He's shuttle. On the show.
Shuttle.
He's
up and down,
going back dance. And forth.
His first year. Yeah, I don't know. Just I don't know about you guys. I kind of took that as a shot.
So did I.
I mean, just you got like a two-paragraph thank you, I miss you, and he just drops a Merlone shuttle in
now
there.
Now you're being sensitive.
Wait, I'm trying to think if you've said anything negative about him in the past.
Oh, Jackie, I'm sure he did. Jackie has a list.
Yeah. He does. He's one of those guys.
Remember him with
he's
Eck?
A list guy?
Yeah, he's a list guy.
Remember what he did to Eck?
That was why didn't he mention Eck in there somehow?
Yeah. Took a picture
somehow.
With him
you must have said something
for doubting
to him
me or something.
You must have said something. Here's what happened. You probably said something at some point in time. He heard it years ago, and then he asked, "Hey, who's this Lou Merlone guy?"
Probably.
Oh, don't worry about that guy. Yeah. Back and forth.
He probably heard some wacky take about
like dog.
Like how inconsistent he is and how streaky he is, and when he's lost, he's completely lost or
go
something.
Go away.
Something weird.
I don't
like
want
that.
To see you.
Something that was probably pretty accurate. So meanwhile, I'm sitting here talking about praising this guy and how much you're going to miss him. But that's okay.
But he's already gone. So he looks at it and says, okay, so Merlone's trying to make up for me now? Screw that. I'm going to give him a shot of the way
out. That is amazing. So he's going to hold on to that. And when he says goodbye to the city of Boston and all the Red Sox fans, he's going to make sure he takes a shot at you.
Yeah.
That is shuttle. Well, I would. You know what? I would feel honored.
Oh, Jesus.
I think I if I was you, I'd feel flattered.
Yeah.
Maybe I do.
I thought it was just funny because somebody, buddy of mine sent this to me and he's like, hey, he gave you a shout out. I'm like, what? I read it. And
gave
I was
you
like,
a shout out? No, shout he out. Took a shot. He didn't give
so
you a shout out.
So, Christian, I will tell you this that I haven't heard that term in a long time. We used
nobody
to say it all the
you.
Time. We used to say it all the time, and Lou knows that. Yeah. And people would say that if a player's going back and forth from, Boston to Pawtucket and back and forth, that was the Merlone shuttle. But I haven't heard it for years. But this guy brought it up on his way out of town.
I didn't even know it was a thing.
Wow.
To me, you know what it tells me is that these guys have been hearing Lou more than they'd like to admit.
I think you're right.
More than they'd like to admit. And I can just see him, you know, playing cards. How about this Merlone character?
Yeah.
Dude, how long did he play? What do you have a hot lunch?
Oh, trust me.
quick little hot minute in the majors, and they said he's going to be critical of me.
Yeah. Nobody likes you. You suck. Trust me.
What's this Angry Lou character anyway? She's trying way too hard.
Jeez, where's the music?
I'd feel flattered if I was you.
I do. I like
maybe
it.
You
I
were
was mentioning his goodbye. It's very nice.
I mean, if I was you, I'd probably like you're probably responsible for one of his turnaround moments. That 1 month where he plays well and hits well, you're probably responsible. You probably got him so mad that he said, you know, I'll show that Lou Maloney.
Maybe, hopefully.
You're the chip on his shoulder.
What was the phrase you said yesterday that Red Sox fans are going to be repeating out loud every single time there's a ball in center field?
Jackie would have had it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
Jackie he's not listening to that. It's too late, Lou.
It's fine. I thought it was good, though.
They probably had a picture of you, like a cardboard cutout of you in the locker room somewhere, and every time they won a game, they took a piece off, and then you were naked.
They still do, baby.
Everybody's stealing that line, too. I've seen it I don't know how many times.
I didn't know it was a thing. That's
Lou
great.
Lou said it like a couple days ago.
What's that?
That line about Jackie Bradley Jr. that you threw out there. Everybody's been throwing it out there. I've seen it a million times.
Yes.
Matter of fact, Christian, you're being accused
what?
Of apparently stealing something from Wiggy. From
me?
The show earlier. Yeah.
What would that be?
The Greg Hill show apparently just tweeted
what would
it
I
out
be? What does Wiggy have that I would ever want?
That's a good question.
It was nothing. The okie doke theory you had.
Yeah.
It was the fact that you went to Bill and Josh went to see Mac Jones, which tells you that they're interested in Justin Fields.
Listen, Wiggy, I'm going to say this to you right now. If I listen to your show one more time and you take one of my opinions and claim it as your own, we're going to have an issue.
Who's more talented?
We're going to have a problem. Or at least want you to credit me. Okay, that's not something that you've invented. Like never in your life have you invented or said anything that I've ever want to steal. Ever.
I love it when somebody thinks that somebody else stole somebody else's take. It's, like two it's people like,
welcome
can't
to
have
the
same thought.
Yeah,
they like, can't have the same
I
mean, thought.
Like so because you said it and I don't listen to you saying it. Like should I credit you for something that whatever? I'm not gonna get
like Lou and Jackie Bradley Jr.
Yeah, hey,
both having the Maloney show.
Can I use Gresh's line about the thimble? How did that go?
I don't know
the whole thimble thing.
Oh, you could fit his radio knowledge into a thimble.
Yeah, that's
3:39.
That's not true though. I couldn't do that.
Talk.
It's 3:39 and 11. No, hold on. For the record, though, I think this is like a moment we're having right now because I've always had Vrabel's been like my crutch that I've kind of had to deal with.
Yes,
and now he's got the Maloney shuttle. I'm like I wish I had yours.
You never heard of the Maloney shuttle?
I've never. We've teased you about it like an apple and a bus ticket back and forth.
I got to agree with him. Nobody's brought it up in the last few years. Unfortunately, maybe some people have forgotten you. I don't know.
I think Uke, that was brought up a lot with Uke because he had the first couple years. He was up and down and everything else.
Well, that's been a while now. Yeah. And in those days, yes, we used to talk about it all the time on the shows. Mm-hmm. I got to read the rest of this.
Oh, there's more? Yeah. Does he talk about you?
But most importantly, growth. From the Maloney shuttle to the duck boat parades, from hitting slumps to hitting streaks. Oh, Jackie, we remember those.
Yeah, long streak.
From all-star games to gold gloves, and from last place finishes to World Series championships. My baseball career in New England has been one that's challenged me to always be present in a moment. Goodbye, Boston.
Mm-hmm.
See you
so
later.
He didn't say mention anybody else's name.
No,
no, it's not a name. It's a phrase.
It's a lifestyle.
I'm long past like the whole Maloney shuttle. Oh, how dare you call it Maloney shuttle? I just think it's funny that he wrote like three paragraphs in a goodbye and threw it in there.
I actually feel like you see those like those highway plaques.
Yeah.
I feel like the Red Sox should purchase one.
It should be like
the Green Mile, the Freedom Trail.
The Pawtucket.
Okay.
You're now driving the Maloney.
Yes.
The Maloney
what
way.
Do you yes. give to the man who has everything? In a word, more.
I want a way. I want Maloney Way.
Yes.
That's what I want it named. Let's go. Figure it out.
I think it's perfect.
But now it's over, though, because I don't know, because the Maloney shuttle doesn't go to Worcester.
No. But
I never went
still,
to Worcester.
Oh, that's right. Now the Pawtucket is out of the picture.
Going to the ultimate site now.
The implication still exists, though.
Yeah,
like you're still going back and forth. So what do you want? The Maloney shuttle.
Yeah.
Or which way you're going? I'm going west this time. Yeah. I'm not going to go south.
Chavis may be that guy this year. He's got options. He may
I almost
be
feel like
Maloney.
You should that's give out point. An award. There should be a Maloney award.
I want a Maloney award.
Like one, you definitely need a
plaque. How many times did you make that trip? Did you ever count, Lou, how many times?
No, it was...
Now, are we exaggerating it?
No, it was 98,
it was
90, 99 and 01 were the years. Because 98, I came up and stayed. And then 2000, I was in Japan, Right? So it was like,
you know, a different type 99 of
shuttle. And 01 were like 2 years where it was, 99 was ridiculous.
Now, how many
that
times did
year.
You go back and how many times?
You could go back as many times.
So how many times? Did you count? Ever?
I don't know. Might have been
20?
I don't know what it is. No, not like that. It was probably like 6, 7, something like that.
Over a course of a year?
Yeah.
Oh, is that a lot?
I don't know.
But it I was mean, like, you don't know that. That's a lot. That's is a lot. It a lot, Glenn? It's a lot, huh?
But it was funny because it was like, I don't know, it's like 6 years maybe I played in Pawtucket, like at least for a little bit, or 5 years because, you know, when he came up. And I remember looking, I still had like less than 1,000 at bats at AAA. And like 6 years. Like it was like one full season basically in AAA and like 1.5.
Well, you're in the Pawtucket Hall of Fame, correct? Down there? Red Sox Hall
no,
of Fame?
He's no, Cape, he's some Cape League.
No? No.
Aren't you a Cape League yes. MVP?
yes.
Would no, they give you a wooden bat?
I got to go Worcester. The ballpark looks nice.
Yeah, it looks terrific. Yeah. All right, let's do some look.
The
at
road
some of the-
that connects us to the new commuter rail station across from Fenway Park will be called
Louis
Drive.
Louis Drive.
Yesterday we talked about over-unders, and Lou is optimistic. 87 wins, I think you said, right?
Yes.
87 wins.
Definitely over the 80. That's a lock.
The over-under is 80.5. So they're giving you a little hook yep. there. Christian, where are you going? Over or under?
Oh, geez. Well, I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I'll go
I'm
going to
go under.
Well.
I think,
under
you know, well. 80 is, to me,
it's right
optimistic.
There. I think they're right there.
I was, you know, yesterday I said 80, but, I mean, really, when you think about it, I think they'll be one of those teams that, respectable, not just, you know, and but they won't be above 80 wins, you know. And I think that's everything going well. That's everybody pitching well. That's everybody playing well. That's everybody hitting well. Core making all the right decisions. Nobody getting hurt. Sale coming back. Even with that, I still think they're under 80 wins.
I think the division is a problem for them, and that they have three legitimate teams in the division. Lou believes that one of those teams will not reach their expectations, and you got to win a lot
might
of
be
games.
The Yankees.
And you got to win a lot of games against
so
the Orioles.
Real quick, because I know we've been talking about this. I heard Keith earlier today said something like, "I don't trust any of the Red Sox to give me 30 starts." Which is legitimate, even though Erod gave you 34 last time he pitched.
This might knock your socks off.
And it's legitimate. And I did this a little bit in this video. I could actually be posted up a little bit later. So I looked at the superstar New York Yankees real quick. We can do this quick.
Go ahead.
How great they're going to be, right? Everyone's got them the third best team in baseball, 95 wins, and they're going to be outstanding.
Wins. Somebody's got them at 100.
Very good lineup, right? Yep. Very good lineup. And Gerrit Cole, very good pitcher. Their number two is Corey Kluber. And we've talked about this before. Last year he pitched one inning before he got a shoulder tear. The year before, he had 7 starts before he missed all year. So in the last year and a half, 2 years, he's thrown one inning. Jameson Taillon, the guy they got from Pittsburgh, he didn't throw last year. You know why? Because after 7 starts in 2019, he had his second Tommy John of his career. So two guys, 2 and 3 in a rotation, had 7 starts in 19 and didn't throw since. And then you got Jordan Montgomery. Montgomery's thrown 75 innings the last 3 seasons. And he's like, we got a, what, 5 or 6 ERA last year. And so, are you anybody confident that he can do anything? So, and Domingo Germán, another guy who didn't throw last year because he got suspended 81 games for domestic violence. So, between Kluber, Taillon, and Germán, none of them have played through last year. 2 of them have come back from serious injuries. And everybody acts like New York is like this super team. I don't want to get into Toronto's rotation, but it's even uglier than this. They're not that good. And Red Sox rotation have question marks too. The point is that they all do. Everyone does. They might have more question marks than the Red Sox rotation, if you find that hard to believe. So I don't think those other two teams are as good as everybody thinks. And that's why I think the Red Sox are 87 wins.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue the Yankee.
Yankee rotation's point. A freaking mess.
No, and I've seen a lot of people with high 90s up to 100 wins. I think there are two teams that are head and shoulders above everybody else, and they're in the same division in the National League West with the Dodgers and the Padres. And the Padres obviously had a terrific offseason. So let me give you a couple of the props that are being thrown out there with the Red Sox. We know what J.D. Martinez did last year, and he bitched and he said, "Oh my God, I wasn't prepared. I didn't." He took away my video, and he batted, what, 213. So the over-under for average this year is 275. Mm. You going over or under?
I'm going to go. So wait, so I see, I'm trying to look at the past. So I'm taking 2020 out
yes.
altogether. I don't even look at that. I think that's the one you throw away. And you start looking at 2018 where he had an unbelievable year when his batting average was 330. And then in 2019, he dips down to 304. So I would say over just based on the fact that he's not going to be 330. He probably won't be 304. And he is a couple years older after that great year in 2018. And I think he's a respectable, but probably 290, I think is where he's at.
I would say this. So I'm going to lump them all in together. So J.D. Martinez, batting averages.
Right.
275.
Right.
Devers batting average, 280. Bogart's batting average, 285. Right. You take the over on all three.
Yes.
And I can guarantee you it's a winner. Guarantee that two out of the three are going to hit higher than 280. Like you said, 19, they all hit over 300.
Yep.
I mean, so you over 275, 280, 285? Like, I take over in everything Bogarts does.
Yeah, so
but I'm just saying, like, those three guys, they're going to hit over 280. I guarantee you're going to get two out of the three guys hitting over 280.
Yeah, so here are the over-unders for Martinez. Under, over, under 275 batting average. Over, under 32.5 home runs. And over and under with RBIs 95.5. I would say this, if he doesn't reach the over in those, then he's got no excuses. He's got his video back. He's got a 162-game season. We all know he's a really good hitter, and he's a student of the game. I've got to believe he's going over.
See, no, so what did you have his home run? What was the over
32
for?
And
32
half.
And a half.
Hmm. Okay.
That may
yeah,
be the
I'd
most questionable.
That.
That might be the most questionable one. I'll give you that. That one maybe.
You know, see, my thing is like, okay, so when you look at his year in 2018, do you think it would ever get better than that?
No, but I think he can get back close.
No,
to
no,
that.
I know. But my thing is like that team that year overall with all those guys, with all those great hitters, just the amount of talent that they had. I mean, he was bound to have an unbelievable season.
Christian, what he did last year is he pissed and moaned because he didn't have his video. And instead of and he's wasted time bitching and pissing and moaning, we're only playing 60 games, we're only doing this, we're only doing that.
I don't think, you know what, right. I'm not even sure that was it. Like, I think that was the problem because he was so lost at the beginning of the year, he didn't have his binky to turn to, right? And when you're lost and you're used to watching video and you can't, things snowball. The reason why he sucked last year is because he wasn't ready to play baseball. That when the season ended, he's already admitted it.
Yeah,
he's admitted it on a couple different occasions. When and I had somebody tell me the same thing. When the season had ended, he thought the season was over.
He
hung out in his boat and he went fishing and he wasn't ready. He wasn't hitting. And then all of a sudden they said, "We're starting in 2 weeks." And he's like, "What?" He wasn't prepared to play last year.
So you're telling me the casting doesn't build up your arm strength for
He wasn't
for
ready
hitting?
To go. No? And he came in and felt like crap. And couldn't find his swing, couldn't find anything, went to the video, they said, "You can't do it," and he was lost. But it was because he wasn't prepared at all to start the year.
I'll be shocked if he doesn't come back and have a really good year. And you're right, Christian. 2018 might be a little too lofty, but I think he's going to be somewhere in the ballpark. He's just too good a hitter. And, you know, who's right? He left it all, he threw it all away last year.
No, there is an aspect of proving people wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and I do think there is an aspect of Cora saying, "Hey man, what the hell happened to you?" Like almost shaming him to the point where dude, you weren't even ready, man. Like you don't even take pride in your work. What's wrong with you? Now you have all the tools and you have a full off season, you have a full spring training. There should be no excuses.
All right, let me get to Rafi Devers. Batting average over under 280.
Yeah, I'm taking the over.
Over.
Over in the batting averages.
Yeah. Home runs over under 32 and a half.
Well, he hit 32 and a half in 2019.
32 and a half?
He didn't hit 32
sorry.
And a half.
Yeah, one almost went out of there. Yeah.
I'll say this. The home runs, I don't know if I think I'd stay away from the home runs because I don't know what the hell if this dead ball is going to have any effect or no effect or huge effect. Like, I have no idea. Like, if it was just a normal year and they weren't talking about changing a baseball, I would take the over in all these categories because I do think they're low, especially Bogarts, and because this is just who these guys are. They're going to hit 280. They're going to hit 33, 35 home runs, and they're going to drive in 100. Like, that's just who they've been the last couple of years.
See,
but with the home runs, I don't know.
The one thing they don't have is the over-under on errors because he led all third basemen last year with that. See, to me, I think eventually he's not going to be the third baseman of this team. You know, he's going to be a DH, right? That's what he's going to be. Maybe play some first base, something like that. So I'm not even worried about that. He's a legitimate power hitter. That's what he is and something they need. All right, let me get these other ones quickly because we
Go to Eovaldi because I think that's the one to me when we had
Nathan Eovaldi.
Under.
Total wins.
Yeah, definitely under.
Over, under 9.5.
I'm an under with that also. Under. I mean, has he ever come close to having 9 wins?
He hasn't pitched 150 innings in how many years now? I mean, never, right?
I mean, I'm just looking at his. Yeah, so you talk about innings. I mean, Jesus.
He hasn't won. In 2016, he went 9-8 for the Yankees.
Yep.
And then 14-3 the year before. That was like right.
That was that year.
Year, right? But, yep. Again, that was also like 154 innings. That's the most he's thrown since 2015. And I don't see it. I think it's safe to take the under. It's safe to think he's going to give you 20, 22 starts, you know, and I just don't see 10 wins coming out of those.
It's going to be the same Nate Eovaldi. We're going to sit there and say, wow, he's got good stuff. Man, look at him. And then something will happen, and we'll get word that he's bought on the
IL. Well, that should
IL.
Be that's Remember a better bet. Is like, listing. How long will he last?
Yeah.
Yeah. The one I don't get is the Erod.
Yeah, I don't either because I'm going over. The over-under is 9.5. The Red Sox are in trouble if he's under 9.5 this year. They are in trouble.
Well, I mean, part of that 9.5 is just his ability to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Now, don't you factor that into the equation? I mean, if he's fully healthy, okay, fine, and not missing a start. Hell, he's already got... He's suffering from a dead arm, and he lost his starting opportunity.
Yeah, but that's
so. If you're going to compare and use this injury issue with Nathan Eovaldi, why shouldn't you use it with Erod also?
Because he hasn't had the history. Everybody talks,
and it hasn't been great though. Lou.
Well, Erod. Everybody talks about the injury. You know, he's injury prone. It's the same injury that he got fixed. He had a kneecap injury. And it bothered him 1 year. He thought he rehabbed it. It bothered him the next year, and he finally got it fixed. So it affected 2 seasons. That's not injury prone. That's like the same injury they never got fixed. And then since then, I mean, he went 13-5 in 18. He went 19-6 in 19. Like, I'll take over 9.5 all day, every day when it comes to Erod. If this guy doesn't get 15, I'll be shocked. 9.5 wins?
And they're in serious trouble if he doesn't. Because you don't know when you're going to see Chris Sale. And we've already...
You can say anybody can get hurt. I could tell you the over-under on Cole's 15 wins, and you're like, oh, I'll take it, but he could get hurt.
Right.
You know, anybody can get... I just don't... He had COVID last year, and he had dead arm. It's all because he took some time off. It happens. I think I'm past the whole he's injury-prone thing.
All right.
It's one injury took care of it.
We're going to find out starting tomorrow, and of course, we'll have all the games right here on WEEI and the WEEI Radio Network, and all of the games can be heard streaming. All you have to do is go to WEEI.com, or you can download the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. You can download for your iPhone, for your Android device. And, of course, if you're in the Boston metro area, you can listen to it on radio or through streaming. Alex Verdugo of the Red Sox joins us coming up next right here on OMF.